This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Women aren't the only patients opting for plastic surgery. More and more men are now enjoying the benefits of cosmetic procedures, and today we're very excited to have Dr. Livingston on the show to talk about gynecomastia and how it can be treated. Dr. Livingston, thanks for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, you're welcome. Our pleasure. Looking forward to hearing from you today. So tell us, for starters, what exactly is gynecomastia?
In simplest terms, gynecomastia is a benign enlargement of the male breast.
And taking that further, what are the factors that cause gynecomastia?
Well, the factors that cause gynecomastia can be multiple. The best way that I can describe it is the three P's, which stands for physiologic, pharmacologic, and pathologic. And so let's take a minute to talk about each of those. Physiologic is really a lack or loss of testosterone. Testosterone is the male hormone, and you can imagine if you don't have a male hormone, then the male breasts enlarge. The second P is pharmacologic, and there are a whole host of medications that can cause gynecomastia, one of which is an illegal medication, which is tetrahydrocannabinoid, which comes from marijuana. But there is another list that includes everything from heart medications to antidepressant medications. And you can go online and look at the probably hundreds of medications that can cause the pharmacologic gynecomastia. And then the third P is pathologic, and pathologic is essentially kidney disease, liver disease, cancers from the pituitary gland, thyroid disease, and other very uncommon diseases like Klinefelter syndrome, which we won't really discuss, are really the factors that cause gynecomastia. Now, gynecomastia can occur at different times of our lifespan. There are really four periods of time where it can occur. One is a neonate, which is usually due to more circulating maternal hormones following childbirth and not enough testosterone. That usually goes away, resolves within a couple years. The next time frame is when you hit puberty at 10 to 12 years, and that can be due to an imbalance in testosterone and estrogens, or weight gain as well, which I see sometimes in pubertal males. And then the third period of time is when you're an adult, and usually that's due to medications, illegal drugs. Steroids can also cause gynecomastia or weight gain. And then finally, when you're older, you obviously lose testosterone, and that causes this imbalance of estrogens and androgens, and you get gynecomastia.
Certainly appreciate your sharing your insight there, and most helpful and informational as well. What happens during gynecomastia surgery?
So there are multiple different surgical techniques for gynecomastia. Really depends on what type of gynecomastia you have. I'd like to kind of break down the stages of gynecomastia if I can. Stage one is when you have male enlargement of the breast that's less than about 250 cc's, and that's the reason you need to see a board-certified plastic surgeon who can estimate how much gynecomastia you have. If you have gynecomastia and what I call lipomastia, which is just a fatty breast tissue, in some instances, you can just do liposuction for those patients. And liposuction is a very easy procedure that has little downtime and small incisions. Type 2 gynecomastia is a male breast enlargement of 250 to 500 cc's, And a lot of times that just requires more liposuction with a similar technique. Stage 3 gynecomastia, or grade 3 gynecomastia, is when you have a very large breast, over 500 cc's, and you have ptosis with skin excess, which just means that the nipple and their areola may be pointing down. You can truly have a B or C or even a D cup breast. And a different technique is necessary for that type of grade gynecomastia, where you might have to excise skin, excise some of the gland with incisions, and you might even have to lift the nipple and the areola up to the appropriate position.
Today we are joined by Dr. Christopher K. Livingston, who has been helping patients achieve their goals through state-of-the-art technology since he's opened his private practice located in Houston, Texas in 2003 here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, Dr. Livingston, who is the ideal candidate for the gynecomastia procedure?
So the ideal candidate is obviously a male that has the gynecomastia or has lipomastia. They have to be healthy enough to undergo a surgical procedure, which usually means that they can't have heart disease or lung disease, and that can all be addressed by finding a board-certified plastic surgeon. The patients have to have realistic expectations. They have to understand what the disease process is and how it's treatable. They have to be compliant with the post-operative protocols. And probably most importantly is if gynecomastia is due to weight gain, they need to monitor their diet and have a healthy lifestyle and exercise so that they don't gain additional weight. Or if they're doing certain medications to try to get them off those medications that cause gynecomastia, or if they're doing illegal drugs such as marijuana to discontinue the marijuana use or discontinue the steroid use.
And lastly, what is the recovery process like and what can patients expect here?
So, again, the recovery process depends on the surgical technique that we utilize. If it's liposuction and liposuction only, the recovery process is usually pretty quick. I tell patients that they need to remain off work for approximately 1 week, and they're not to have any type of aggressive exercise such as running or lifting weights, targeting the chest muscles for about 4 weeks. They certainly can return to work within about a week. They just can't do any type of strenuous activities at work. I try to tell patients that are in the construction business or carrying heavy objects that they might need to take a little bit more time off than just the 1 week. But if you have a desk job, a sedentary job, then certainly going back to work in 1 week is perfectly fine. The final results, most of the time, take at least 6 weeks, sometimes 3 months. Patients can expect to have a sculpted chest with a resolution of the gynecomastia, whether it be the mass that's underneath the areola or the lipomastia. That should all be resolved. And again, with a healthy lifestyle, with diet and exercise, this is long-lasting, if not permanent, and their chest can be sculpted with as much exercise and weight training as they can perform.
Dr. Livingston, thanks so much for taking a moment to be with us here today on the program and for covering gynecomastia, the causes, what happens during surgery, and also who is the ideal candidate as well as the recovery process. Certainly appreciate your covering all these details per your expertise. Where can listeners get further details on your practice located there in Houston, Texas?
They can go to my website, which is www.drchrislivingston.com. They can call my office at 281-501-1812. Or if they're ever in Houston, Texas, and want to visit the largest medical center in the world. We have approximately 26 hospitals that I'm staring at in my ninth floor office and see about 150,000 patients a day in the world famous Texas Medical Center. That's where I'm located.
Most impressive, and sounds like you have quite a facility there. Dr. Livingston, thanks so much for your time today and for joining us here today on eHealth Radio. Much appreciated.
Thank you, sir.
We've been speaking with Dr. Christopher K. Livingston, who has been helping patients achieve their goals through state-of-the-art technology since he's opened his private practice located in Houston, Texas. And for further details, visit drchrislivingston.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.